Okay, so Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So man was to have dominion over all the creeps, creeping creepers, over all the earth. Amen? Amen. And it says, "Let us make man in our own image." Happy Mother's Day. Then it goes on. All right. Then it says this. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. See that? He created them. See that? And, you know, God basically said, "I'm going to make man and woman in my image." And, you know, we visualize so much externally. And we visualize and we understand the expressions and characteristics of the different, the male and female. But if God made man and woman in his own image, then what part of God is womanly? And I was thinking about that last night, the womanly aspect of God. And some people really are going to struggle with this. They're going to, but see, this is part of the reason why we have so many gender questions today. Because people don't really understand this topic at all. And I want to spend some time on it today because I want to start off by saying a few words about gender. All right? Masculinity and femininity. Because that's how we recognize. We recognize gender through perception and observation of the traits of masculinity and femininity. Now, there's a whole trend today of trying to change the way that is defined. And based on a lack of a better description, we understand these through the stereotypical characteristics, masculinity and femininity. But we also understand that there are traits by design. The Bible's kind of lays this out. And I was thinking about some of the traits. I'm going to say a trait, and I want you to just tell me, what do you think it's more of a masculine, not exclusively, but more of a masculine than a feminine trait or vice versa. Okay, ready? Affection. Feminine? I heard feminine, both of them. So which way does it kind of lean? It leans sort of feminine, I think. How about gentleness? Feminine. How about competitive? How about dominant? How about responsive? Could go either way there, right? How about initiative? Masculine? Sure. So here's the problem. Everyone's hesitant to answer these questions because, oh, now, men are not only leaders, women are leaders. That's true. They are. But here's what's happened. F-A-L-L. What's that spell? The fall. So here's God. He gives man and women. He creates them in his own image. And then the fall happens. And here's what happens to these characteristics. Competitive becomes aggressive. Dominant becomes abusive. Affectionate becomes manipulative. Gentle becomes passive. Responsive becomes victimized. Initiate becomes domineering. There's been a corruption of these gender characteristics which God has given. So now that there's been this corruption, this new society, our society now, is recognizing in part the corruption of those characteristics, but they're reacting towards them a certain way. Rather than understand that sin has corrupted those characteristics, they want to define the gender roles. They want to redefine gender. So now we have our society, this gender dysphoria. All these young people very confused about their gender. They're confused about their sexuality. They're confused about their gender. And really what the issue is they're confused about creation. They're confused about creation. Bottom line is real peace comes from allowing God to develop your created attributes and gifts. That's where real peace comes from. But the world doesn't experience that kind of peace because they don't acknowledge God's role in their life. So when I see that God created man and women, and I understand, I'm going to get into it today, there are characteristics of God that are incredibly womanly. As a matter of fact, the word mercy means, you ready for this? This is going to blow your mind. The word mercy comes from a word that means womb-like, or from the womb. So here's the God of mercy. Womb-like, protective, nurturing, developing, secure. It's marvelous. And we as believers need to be okay and understand that. That there are attributes of God that are feminine. But see, all of a sudden, well, isn't masculine, can't masculine be nurturing? Let me just say this. I'm comfortable being a guy. See? I'm okay being assertive. I'm okay not always being nurturing. That's not how I was necessarily wired. Now, do I need to nurture? Of course I do. I have three children. They'll all tell you how incredibly compassionate and tenderhearted and merciful and nurturing I actually am. Go ahead, ask them right now. Go ahead.
We love you, Mom.
But see, this is the point. Don't our children and families need the masculine and the feminine? Now, you go to a little league field, or you go to the school. Almost 50% of the children in our society today come from single parent homes. The number, my friends, is almost 50%. Do you realize that half of our society is growing up without gender role models? Half our society is growing up in the absence, with the absence of a male in the home or the absence of a female in the home, but more importantly, the absence of the combination of those attributes in the home. So now there's no balance. There's no identity. So there's a struggle. And that's where it's coming from. But it's also coming from this, the acknowledgement that God made male and female. Do you understand this? How do I know this? Simple biology acknowledges this as well. It's absurd what's happening today. The absurdity that you can redefine who you are verbally when you're biologically something else. That's like me standing up here and saying I'm an alligator. Now, true, I have rough skin sometimes. So think about this. It was brought up this morning, and again, I love how the Spirit of God does this. The worldview of most young people is developed by the time they are 12 or 13 years old. Is it any wonder that there is an assault on young people today? Is there any wonder that growing up in these homes and developing worldview, by the time they're 13, the worldview is pretty much developed? This is an amazing thing to think about. And this is why there's been an attack in school systems, an assault against creationism. If you strip creationism from the worldview of the first 13 years of life, what do you end up with? A society with a warped worldview. Hello? A warped worldview. Now, I hate to say this, and please, this is not to condemn, and I don't want you to beat yourself up, but some of you came to Christ later in life, and you began to raise your families without the worldview. Now you want your family to immediately adjust and take on this new worldview, this biblical worldview. It may be hard, because the worldview has developed in time with young people. And to change someone's worldview, regardless of their age, is very, very challenging. As a matter of fact, it takes a revolution. And the only revolution that can change the worldview is a revolution of the Spirit of God in a person's life. You understand this? But there's also been no greater assault on motherhood than abortion. The nurturing protection of the womb redefined, minimized, assaulted, murdered. And a worldview that fundamentally says it's okay for you to kill your unborn baby is not a coherent worldview. It is not a rational world. It is irrational. And I say it's irrational. Some of the most intelligent people that I know have a pro-abortion view. However, they are irrational because they don't have Christ. They do not have the mind of Christ. They don't understand creation. They don't acknowledge God's creative hand in life. And so there's nothing rational about anything they can conclude. A worldview apart from creation and God at the center is an irrational worldview. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's an irrational worldview. They may be able to put together some semblance of an argument, but it's not a relevant argument. It's not a rational argument, because the fundamental point is that we are created in the image and likeness of God. So anything concluded after that, apart from that, is irrational. Now, I'm not here to help you make an argument for pro-life. I'm not here to help you make an argument about gender. But I'm here to help you this morning. I want you to understand the assault and understand that the solution is God, Creator, Christ, Redeemer. Because there will be no peace in life until someone comes to the conclusion that God created them and made them the way they are. And when you let God develop who you are based on how He made you, you'll have peace in your life. See? And that's true of our the physical. That's true of our personalities and characteristics. That's also true of our gifts. So someone who's gifted to preach, or someone who's gifted to teach, or someone who is gifted to serve, until they allow God to develop those gifts, they won't have peace. They'll be looking here and here and here and here and trying to figure out what they're going to do with their life. And it's very, very disruptive, and it's very confusing, and there's all kinds of uncertainty, and there's no peace in that. So God says, I'm going to make man and women in my image. And then He begins to impart characteristics of Himself, and He creates man and woman in His image. Merciful, rakamim, Hebrew word, womb-like, sheltering, protecting, comforting, sympathetic. We are living in a day, in an age, where femininity is under assault. It is not... unbelievable. Take sports, for example, female sports right now. That a man can compete in female sport has set back female athletics 100 years. It's unbelievable. Where are the women's rights movement defending female athletics from that assault? Where are they? They are dead quiet because there's something bigger for them to defend. And it's the right to do with their body and with the body of the unborn. Mark my words, there is nothing like this assault on the womb. There's nothing like abortion in terms of what has turned the worldview of so many people. It's been amazing. And it is, to think that it's not demonic is naive. How many have been killed? 65 million people. Is that just America? I've heard the numbers almost triple worldwide. But 65 million Americans. I want you to think of that for a minute. 65 million Americans. There's 300 and something million Americans now. We've killed a fifth of our population. We've murdered, and we don't like what Putin has done in Russia. We've killed a fifth of our own population. We've killed them. That's not demonic. That's not a warped worldview. That's not irrational. How is that not irrational? So how do we take people through it? Well, first of all, we've got to go back to we are made in the image and likeness of God. And really, femininity is under assault. Biology is under assault. Now is a time for nurturing and caring and sympathy and understanding for people. Absolutely. You know, at the same time, the church hasn't done a very good job of defining this and helping with this. Here's an example. And, you know, there's a verse in Peter that talks about it's not the braiding of the hair and the putting on of jewelry, right? That's not what defines a woman. But the quietness of the heart and the gentleness of the heart. That word quietness literally means gentleness, and it's reflective of this word mercy. The nurturing, caring femininity, that is what identifies a woman as a woman. I remember we had a church in Rome. I got a hold of one of their membership agreements. You remember reading this? The membership agreement that said, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to, by the way, women are not going to wear pants. They're not going to dress like men. Men are having short hair. Blah, 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 blah. And all it was the church focusing on the externals and doing nothing about developing people individually, saying nothing about real masculinity and femininity, and how beautiful they both are. It's beautiful. A man who is an initiator, who is someone who, I don't know, I could say so many things right now, I'm trying to be very careful, but we should be celebrating these gender roles. And the church should be saying, listen, it is wonderful for you to be feminine, for a woman to have femininity. It's an amazing thing. So, there are five motherly characteristics of God that I want to talk about. The first one is in Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verses 12 and 13. The Lord says, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, talking about Israel, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then one shall feed on her sides, shall you be carried and be dandled on her knees. I have no idea what that word dandled means. What's it? Dandled. But here's the verse. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, and you will be comforted in Jerusalem. Isaiah 66, 12 and 13. God bless you. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You'll be comforted like a mother comforting her children. This is God doing the comforting. Hosea 13, verse I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage. There I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. This is amazing. This is God saying, like a mother bear, I will protect you. Like a mother bear protects her bear cubs. Isn't that something? Protection, security. It's the mother heart of God. Try to cross a mother. Go after a mother when she's got her kids with her. You see what happens to you. You know? Moms, mama bears can be tough. How many have ever run across a mother who's being a mama bear? It's not pretty, is it? But that's part of the feminine. That's part of the feminine characteristic. It's not just a man that'll do that. Right? So a woman will protect her children as well. Not only will she nurture them, she'll keep them, and she'll protect them as well. There's a healing part of God. In 1 Thessalonians 2:17, it's very beautiful. We'll just read this. 1 Thessalonians 2. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor more eagerly to see your face with great desire. There's something about the desire of seeing and being with people that has a very motherly aspect to it. I don't know that we understand that. And you go back to verse 7 and you see what he's talking about. We were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children. We were gentle among you as a nursing mother. So Paul is expressing himself in feminine terms. This is in your Bible, by the way. You know, we kind of fight these ideas that a man can't be that way, but we can be. But in a way that's not confusing. You know what I'm saying? So a mother can be like a bear cub and defend her children, and a father can be nurturing. How's that possible? Because God created us in His image, and His image has those characteristics to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many are following this morning? So you look at Jeremiah 31, verse 20. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child for who I spoke against him? For though I spoke against him, I earnestly remember him. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I surely will have mercy upon him, says the Lord. And that word mercy is that word for womb. I will nurture him. I will care for him. I will protect him. I will support him. I will be motherly to him. So the first characteristic is security, protection, then healing and support, and then the third thing could be sacrifice. How a mother makes sacrifices. You remember Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11? She said, Lord, if you give me this child, I'll bring him to you. I'll submit him. I will surrender him to you in your temple. That's an aspect of God that's very motherly. Isaiah 42, verse 14. I've held my peace a long time. I've been still and restrained myself. Now I will cry like a woman in labor and will pant and gasp at once. This is God talking about Israel, the groaning of like a woman in labor, God bringing forward Israel. And the sacrifice that a woman makes to bring forward a child. We have some babies floating around here today. There's three of the little rascals, you know. We're all reminded of when we had the little ones. I was looking at pictures last night of my little cherubs, thinking about those days. But there's nothing quite like seeing a woman giving birth. It's really bad. You know, it's like not something you want to see every day, I'll tell you that, but it's fascinating. But it's also this. It also is this incredible gift and incredible ability that only God has given women. And there's no wonder, there's absolutely no wonder that God identifies himself with that type of gift, with that type of production, that type of fruit bearing, you know? So then you see Psalm 131, verse 2. And I know we're just skipping around looking at verses today. And I think these are really amazing. Psalm 131, verse 2 says, "Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." Now here's David now identifying God as his mother. He's saying, I've weaned. I started out, I was growing, and God was nurturing me, but I've been weaned. Now I'm learning independently. Not from God, but it's a different part of learning. Now I've grown and developed as a man, but I still have this relationship with Mom. You know, I don't live at home anymore, obviously, but I still have a very tender relationship with my mother. We talk regularly. I think of my mom all the time. She is truly one of the three most extraordinary human beings on the planet. You know, between my wife, my mother-in-law, and my mother, there they are, the three greatest women in world history, period. So there, yes. You may applaud. You have one of them in your presence right now.
I would argue that that's...
I know you would, but it would be useless. Because I have this. No, but you know, we all feel that way about the moms in our life, our mothers, and then our wives, of course, who gave us our children. And this is the thing. It's like we look at this and we see like this special relationship. And David is saying that just like I was kind of weaned from my mother, God is now letting me learn differently. Now I'm growing differently. I'm developing differently. I'm maturing in a very different way, but I still have a relationship with my mother. Because David is not saying his relationship with God has ended now that he's weaned. That makes sense? But think about the training of the mother, the feeding of a mom of her children, and how close that is, and the way God does that with young believers and with people. It is close, it is intimate, it is important, and they get exactly what they need when they need it at that point in their life. There's even vitamins that they get. Vitamin K, we've learned about this. The ability to develop blood clotting is far better for children who are breastfed than those that use formula. Why is that? Because God developed the whole process, and it's his process. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. So, Hosea 11, verse 4. Somebody told me they don't like when I go to these minor prophets because they can't find them. I say, listen, if I say open your Bible to Hosea and you don't find it right away, just open it up somewhere and kind of look intelligent. Hosea chapter 11, verse 4. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. I was to them as those who take the yoke from their neck. I stooped and fed them. I taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by their arms, but they would not. But they did not know that I healed them. I drew them with gentle cords, with bands of love. See, this is an amazing picture of this characteristic of God that you and I all know and love about him. We love the gentleness of God. We love the nurturing part of God. We love that caring part of God. We love that protecting part of God. We love the motherly part of God. And a lot of believers struggle with even defining it in these terms because they say, wait a minute, are you saying God's a female? I'm saying God's not human. That's what I'm saying. So stop trying to humanize God. Stop trying to demote God and stick him in your little gender box. You're the one in the gender box, not God. You were created as God made you to be created. Stop fighting God. Because the more you fight him, the less peace you'll have. The more you reject him and the way he developed you and the way he created you, the less joy, peace, and you're going to have problems. I won't spend a lot of time on this, but I will say this. Those that have gone through these operations are coming out on the other end a tragic, destructive, destroyed group of human beings. They're coming out on the other side with tremendous regret. The majority, this is the unspoken thing in this whole gender discussion in America today. These people are coming out through these operations, are coming out of these transformations and all that stuff. They are destroyed. And they're coming in droves. They're going to psychiatrists. They're on all kinds of medication. This is a train wreck. And it's been created by the left. It's been created by the right. It's been created by a warped, godless worldview. Yep. And we haven't even begun to see. You wait now, 10, 15 years from now, when we have this pile up. Now it's just a cluster accidents. Soon it's going to be a major pileup, and we'll see it in 10 years. Yeah. But anyway, can we just think about God in these terms? That God is and has created us, both male and female, and to rejoice in who he is and what he's done and how he's made us, and to understand that God is the creator. God is the creator, and that God loves the way he made you, because everything he created, how did he end it? What did he say? It is good. See how you're made? See how you're created? It's good. In other words, don't tamper with it. God made you the way you are. It's good. God made you the way you look. That's good. I look in the mirror. I don't think I look good. You're amazing. You're amazing. One of the profound attacks against women has been the way that they're viewed by society and how people put the pressure on them on what their bodies are supposed to look like, what their faces are supposed to look like, what their jawline is supposed to look like, what their waistline is supposed to look like. Hogwash! Don't buy into that stuff. God has created you. By the way, you look at these models and these actresses and all that stuff. Can I just say this to you women? Look right up here. Look up here. Pay attention. Sit up straight. Look right up here. Do you know, and this was done, I can't remember which scientist did the study or which journal did the study on this. They said, out of the way they look, how they look, the way they're built, do you realize that only 10% of the female population could ever look like that? Even if they perfectly ate, perfectly exercised, and did everything else perfectly, only 10% could look like that? That means 90% of the female population is trying to look like something they can never look like and shouldn't try. By the way, you remember what used to be amazing? If you look, don't look at certain magazines, but if you look back at the way what was promoted as being very beautiful 50 years ago, even 100 years ago, it's totally different than what it looks like now. It used to be the perfect woman. You know what she looked like? She wasn't like this, the little twigs we see today. It was quite a bit different back then. What's changed? What's changed? The fickle mind of sick men. That's what's changed. The destructive worldview pushed upon people that you got to look a certain way, and then it changes. Oh, no, you should look like this. Oh, no, you should look like this. Oh, no, you should dress like this. Oh, no, you should dress like this. You know, I didn't throw out any of my thin ties, and they came back around. The wide ones won't come back, I hope. But the thin ones, they came back around. Remember those big wide ties in the 80s? That's what they were. I liked them because they were like a tarp when I ate. I had to throw half of them out. But, you know, God has made you exactly the way you are and loves the way he made you. God absolutely loves the way he made you. Look at the person next to you. But look and point him right, put your finger right in your face. God loves the way he made you. Stop tampering with it. So last thing I want to say. Last two things I want to say. Because we're not going to do a wrap today. We're going to cut you loose so you can go cook for your wives and moms. Or take them to dinner. This is probably the most profound example of all. It's Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, but I will not forget you. I've inscribed you on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before you, before me. This is God saying, like, even a woman, God is even more so than that woman. Even more so than a natural woman is God's nurturing care. So, lastly, and just a little celebration today of moms and Proverbs 31. You know, and it's tempting. Maybe you'll hear this online. Sometimes it's tempting for a single mom to feel that she must be more than feminine. But I'll tell you this. I'll tell you there's, if you understand what real femininity is, what real femininity is, the bear cub, real femininity, the nurturing, the training, the teaching, right? Understand what real femininity is before you say, I can't be gentle anymore. I can't be this or that anymore. Here's what it says in Proverbs 31. It says, verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. This is a woman, a godly, virtuous woman. There's a whole list of things she does. I remember reading this with Karen one time, and we were talking here. So, I don't know, is she going to get all that stuff done? Who is this superwoman? You know? But here, her children rise up and call her blessed. And I'll say this to all you moms here. You truly are blessed. You really are. And I know you believe that, and I know you understand that, but children, make sure you rise up and call her blessed. Make sure you rise up and call her special. Make sure you rise up and call her amazing. Make sure you rise up and do that. And husbands, you need to do the same thing. You need to rise up and call the mom of your children blessed. You need to rise up and support and be a blessing and empty the dishwasher once in a while and mop the floor occasionally, you know. I remembered the words of my mother-in-law yesterday. I was thinking about Mother's Day. And my mother, we were talking and having breakfast one time. And I said, she said, we were talking about marriage. And my mother-in-law looked at me and said, you know what the most important thing you could do for my daughter? And I'm waiting for her to tell me, you're going to say this. You're going to do this special thing every once in a while. So you know what the single most important thing you can do as a husband, as a man, as a dad, as a the most important thing you can do. And I'm like, I'm hanging on every. She said, empty the dishwasher. Absolutely serious. She's dead serious. Because she will be overwhelmed. Otherwise, you know, it's like, why do some men not want to do it? Because they don't understand the feminine heart of God. They don't understand the nurturing part of God. Now, I know if you go to the Case home, you will occasionally see Menzo vacuuming like crazy, cleaning like crazy. Why? Because that's what a real man does. You'll see the same thing at Josh Martin. Do the same thing. I know he does. I know Chris does the same thing. I hope all you guys are like that. I know Harry does it. Harry likes to be a tough guy. Well, he's like the worst of all. He's doing dishes. He's mopping floors. He's helping out, cleaning windows, all that stuff. Why? Because there's no that part of the role thing is not important. But letting God develop you for how he's made you, that's important, right? That's important. That's what I want to get across today. All right. I hope I've thoroughly confused all of you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We do pray, Lord. It's not confusing at all, really. It's like you're not human. You are God. And you made us all, and you gave different aspects to us. And then you created us with a particular set of characteristics. And you love to develop those characteristics in us personally. You love to develop our personalities and our gifts. And we thank you for that, Lord. We pray that we would be comfortable with who we are and that we would enjoy who we are and enjoy each other. And we pray that you would bless our ability to nurture and care for people and not be trapped in the naturally or humanly designated characteristics, God, to gender roles, but at the same time, Lord, to enjoy what real men and real women are all about. We pray for our society, our country, our young people. We pray, Lord, that you would wash away this wave of confusion. Help there be a great light in the world that helps people understand these things, that we are made by you in your image. And we pray, Lord, that we can be good at communicating that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Happy Mother's Day. Enjoy it. It's a beautiful sunny day.